We have everyone here. Where's Steve? Steve's here, isn't he? Steve's here somewhere?
Who's Steve? Yes. Steve, he's over there.
Oh, where? Where?
Steve Shively in the black shirt.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about. I'm Richard. Talking about Richard.
Yeah, Richard, too.
I'm going to bring this meeting to order, please. We have a quorum. Richard Sandowski is here somewhere. If he would like to come up to the podium, that would be nice. So we do. My name is Bill Woodson. I am the vice chair for the committee. Our chair, John Diodati, will not be here tonight. I will be chairing it. So we can start, please, with a moment of silence. And now we can rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Begin.
Pledge of Allegiance.
We always start with announcements. Do we have any announcements up here at the platform? Let's start around here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes.
Okay, this is an announcement that I've made previously, but I'll bring it up again.
Just bring it closer. Bring your mic closer.
Okay. This is an announcement I've made previously, but I'll bring it up again. Next week, on May 10th, at the San Luis Obispo City Library at 995 Palm Street, there's going to be the 2016 California Financing Coordinating Committee Funding Fair. And basically, they're going to be folks from various federal and state agencies that are going to talk with people about their projects and grant opportunities. So 8 to 8:30 is check-in. Agency presentations are 8:30 till noon. And then in the afternoon, municipalities can talk about their projects for a couple hours. So if you want to be part of this meeting, you need to register online, ideally. And that's at www.cfcc.ca.gov. And then you click on Funding Fairs. Thank you.
Steve. Richard.
Hi, I just would like to announce that Shoreline Calvary is going to do a Mexico trip soon, and they're always frogskins are always welcomed, you know, to help out. They help out a bunch of kids and people in Tijuana.
Okay. That gets us to public comment period. And before we get into that, I'd like to make a little public announcement of my own. We up here need your input and welcome, and we're happy to see you here. And I guarantee you the people up here are trying our best to do what's best for Morro Bay. And we are looking for good ideas. We are an advisory. We cannot make decisions, but apparently the City Council does listen to us. So we are volunteers. We do not get paid. We abide by the Brown Act. And as a body, have no conclusion on what to do. We believe that the City Council will listen. We want to make a recommendation to the City Council tonight. We do not know what that will be. You can help, or you can hurt. Please, put on your thinking caps, organize your thoughts for your 3 minutes, and present your case the best you can. We are listening. We know three things in addition to this packet. And it's a very thick packet, a lot of information. We know we have to have a new wastewater treatment plant. We know that it has to be operational by February 2021. We know it's a fact that we have a water sewer rate structure in place to pay for a $65 million plant. Those are facts. Anything beyond that, we're going to be chewing on tonight. So we start with public comment period. Now what this is a opportunity for the public to talk about something that is not on the agenda. And if those that don't have an agenda, we do have on the agenda a discussion of sites and public outreach efforts. That will be coming, and I guarantee you, within 10 minutes. So we go through the motion of a lot of stuff on the front, but we will start now with public comment on items that are not on the agenda. Please step forward and put your name on the dais, and please print it for so Kay can read who you are. You have 3 minutes.
You want me to write my complete name?
If you could identify yourself, it'd be good too.
Sure can. Most of you know me by now, either by recording or previous. My name is Leroy Albert Kleim, K-L-E-I-M, like in Mary. My wife is not here tonight, or this afternoon, that is. Her name is Christina F. Kleim. I'm here on our behalf and everybody else that is on on Nutmeg and Cayucas. You have any questions of me? Do I need to give you my phone number, my email address?
It's your 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. So you want me to write my name down first here? I will. My travel cell, 559 area code, 978-4664, for the record. This weekend, I am an abutter of a bet, Brigetti or whoever owns the property. I understand we have a $25,000 non-refundable deposit on that. Concerned about the weeds. Never had this from Brigetti, the owner, before, but I've got weeds about 2 feet from my rear door, and I've got pictures of that, and the efforts that were made through the chief, the fire department chief, Steve Knuckles. For the record, I'd like the mayor to, particularly the mayor, the effort that was made by everybody to include the agent for the Brigetti property. He was noticed, finally, he was out of town. You have a major issue of setback and fire, even though the moisture is high. My EIR report with a piece of toilet paper will tell you the wind comes this way, that way, and everywhere up there. It swirls. So I did meet with the mayor yesterday afternoon. He was busy, but I finally nailed him down by going into the office and waiting while Dana made a call. It just so happens we were coinciding, and he doesn't use my cell number. He uses a travel home number, 225-1234, which is Morro Bay, home port. However, my preferred travel cell number, if you're interested in talking to a very interested party for both communities and SLO County, again, is 559-978-4664. We went behind Dana's office there, I don't know what, but he gave me an envelope, and then we discussed, but he was busy. So I'll tell you the issues that we had here, because I got to be out of here in 5 minutes so you can do
No, you're already on yellow.
I'm sorry? That's it? I'm past 3 minutes?
No, you have 45 seconds.
Okay. Sir. So my concerns about my wife, it's her house, it's the end house. The architect that's on hold, that's public record already, about 15,000 units on hold, and I've already lost a position as far as my contractor of choice. The person that I flew in from Sacramento, Liebig, he happens to know Rickenbach or whoever. And this is the envelope. This is the law firm that represents me in Fresno. I went to him to get a mediator, and this is a top-notch mediator that was provided to the mayor yesterday afternoon. It's his choice. He decided not to talk to the mediator, just to try to help the process along. The Tribune article about Westlands, my brother-in-law is a Westside Westlands farmer. I asked him what it was all about. $4.3 billion settlement here last year. And this is my EIR report. You can come up to my house. I invite it. Show you the windows, how the air goes through, all the way back from the Rigetti property into my house. Any other questions? 3 minutes is up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. I want to remind you folks that this public comment period is for items that are not on the agenda.
Okay. I'm sorry. I have to get out of here. Normally, I wait until
the
11th hour. But this is from the mayor. I haven't even read it yet.
Good.
And I'd be glad to recap it behind. So I, in support of whatever you want to do, but I want 20 minutes because he said come here for public comment.
That's enough.
Thank you very much, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
On a lighter note, my name is Keith Taylor. I'm a resident of Morro Bay.
Hello, Keith.
I'm here to talk about our car show, which is coming up the 6th, 7th, and 8th. And because we have so many people that come out of town, the one thing they say to us is how much they enjoy coming here because of you and us, the community, and the way we treat them. I just want us to make sure we keep doing that because it's probably our biggest money maker for the city. I think it's bigger than Harbor Festival. I don't know that if we had Ken Vesterville, he'd tell you all the numbers. But so I just want to let everyone know that it starts on Friday with the cruise and then the car show and then Sunday. So if you see the people and they're going to drive you crazy, going to be like 20,000 of them, just be kind and humble. Thank you kindly.
Thank you, Keith. There's cars already in town, so
yes, they come in and spend their money already.
Good afternoon. I am Stuart Skiff. Okay, I'm Stuart Skiff. And I have lots of friends on Nutmeg, and I live in North Morro. And my biggest thing with this whole picture is the money we're looking at here is OPM. It's other people's money. And when I take a look at what Cayucas is fixed to spend, and they're about to start in an EIR right now, you can download all the information from CSD and look at it. And what we're spending, there seems to be a $20 million deficit between what they're going to spend and what we're going to spend after we reduce the flow for Cayucas down to perhaps a flow that will just support Morro Bay. I think it's ludicrous to do that. Somewhere, somehow, we need to reach out to Cayucas and say, you're building your plant over here on the road on Chevron
property. We are going to address that in the agenda.
And we need to do that. We need to notify the citizens of Cayucas that it's going to cost them, and I did a spreadsheet on it, looks like about $480 a year in property assessment tax. Same thing with Morro Bay. And I haven't seen any numbers, John, from what's going on, what the bottom line is per parcel for Morro Bay and Cayucas. We need those numbers.
The numbers are available, sir, but you're into our agenda. If I kindly remind you again, you're going to have, if you just wait 5 minutes to let us get through our minutes and get into the agenda, you know, you could have done it then, but you're already into it, so.
Well, I apologize.
And you've burned your time, so.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. We're getting to the consent calendar, the approval of the minutes of March 1st. The staff recommendation is approve the minutes as submitted. Does anyone have any comments or changes on the minutes? I need a motion, please.
I don't think that my comment is in there with regards to the minutes about the point of order.
It is.
It is?
Yes, it is in there.
It's in the second page.
Thank you.
Do you want to review it, Richard, or are you okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've been focused on the other part of the package.
Then,
plus,
then I need
have a planning
motion.
Commission meeting today, so.
I need a motion.
I'll make a motion. We approve the consent calendar minutes of the last meeting.
Second it.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
I'm going to abstain.
You're going to abstain. Richard's abstaining. Okay. Okay, this gets us to the business items, B1. Subcommittee updates and recommendations. We'll start with finance. Finance. Hello, Barbara. And Jenny, you got anything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you don't have anything?
I do.
Go ahead. You go first.
Thank you. Good evening. Basically, I have a couple comments and questions for staff on the budget, the accruals. The last time we met, we discussed having a revised spreadsheet. You were providing information from the Procore system, I believe, and we talked about assimilating that information with the city's finance system. I know you didn't include anything in the agenda packet or provide us, and I understand the other items on this agenda are critical and of utmost importance and urgency, but I don't want the request for some of the finance to get lost in some of this material. So, or if nothing else, Mike, if you have the consolidated contractors reports. I've been trying to balance some of this with the information from the city's finance system, because on the finance committee we're looking at, you know, year-to-date quarterly reports, and I quite honestly have not been successful doing that. So as soon as we can get some information, then our subcommittee can meet and maybe start reviewing it and be able to provide a little more high-level information that I think many of our citizens are asking for. Okay, thank you.
And I'd be glad to respond to that if I could. So our intention has been that we'll provide that detailed update on a quarterly basis. What we could do is prepare that for the next meeting.
That would be great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Jenny.
Okay. Okay, last time I reported that the Cayuga Sanitary District Board of Directors held a community meeting on February 18th to discuss their CSWP, and since then they've selected a site, the Toro Creek site, and on April 28th I attended the scoping meeting for the CSWP and just wanted to go through some of the high points. As you know, my main concern was that I thought it would be cheaper for the two municipalities to go in on one facility, and I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later. There have been some letters that have been traded back and forth between Morro Bay and Cayucas, but as far as I know, no meeting has taken place. Anyway, the purpose of the scoping meeting really was to explain the EIR process and opportunities for the community to provide comments on environmental issues and how the public can be involved in the EIR process. So there were 53 people that attended the meeting, and three people from Morro Bay, including myself, and John Rickenbach. And so, John, you know, feel free to chime in at any time. So basically, they're going to develop their EIR concurrently with their facilities plan, and they're making a lot of progress. So basically, their initial study was submitted on April 22nd, and agencies will have 30 days to comment on it.
And the draft EIR is going to be published in June, and the public's going to be given 45 days to comment on that. The proposed project will include two alternatives. Their cost analysis is going to look at the cost for treatment and long-term operation and maintenance. They say that the final EIR is going to be published in the winter of 2016, and they hope to construct the facility in 2017. What I found interesting during the public comment period, there were only five people that provided comments. And interestingly, the people, residents of the Toral Creek Road area were concerned, as were many of you in the audience, about the Rigetti property, and they're concerned about potential odor and noise. And they said that they'd oppose the location unless these impacts are mitigated. So they left the door open. One resident said he was concerned that the project may not be the right choice for Morro Bay and Cayucos. And again, you know, he was urging the two municipalities to get together. Another resident, and this is going to be the same answer as for our Morro Bay's EIR, he asked whether the EIR addresses cost and which potential crops would be would use the treated wastewater for irrigation. So just for your information, the EIR does not address cost, only environmental issues. So the only other thing that I wanted to mention, I went to the meeting with an open mind because I've only been a resident here for 5 years, and I wanted to try to figure out where they were coming from. I still believe that it would be ideal if the two municipalities could get together and build one facility. At the last Wharf CAC meeting, I had said that I'd hope that by now that they would have ironed out these differences, and I was hoping that there would be a meeting, a mediated meeting, but that didn't happen. I did talk with Supervisor Gibson's legislative aide, who told me that Mr. Gibson would be willing to attend such a meeting if he were invited. And after the meeting, after the Cayucos meeting, I spoke with several people just to try to get an idea of what their concerns were. And the bottom line is that I got the impression that they were mostly unhappy with the MOU. That was only a draft. It never made it to the final stage.
That's correct.
And so when I guess basically they said they're just not happy with the prospect of being asked to pay 28% of the cost to develop a new facility without having any ownership in it, that the draft MOU stated that I guess they would be a customer. So I went back to the draft MOU, and I looked at it, and it basically said, it also says that the details and terms of that relationship shall be negotiated. So I'm not sure what's going to happen tonight. I do know that by every day that we don't go forward with a site means a higher cost, and that was brought up in the report that you're going to be talking about tonight. I don't know whether Cayucos and Morro Bay are ever going to get together on this, but I still believe that there's a chance, especially given the information we read in the report about the environmental impacts at Toral Creek. So anyway, that's my feedback from the financial standpoint. Again, it costs a lot more money to have two facilities, but maybe we can iron it out. Thank you.
And Ginny, since you asked me if there was anything to add to that, really I thought that was a pretty good summary right there about what I saw there as well. So I just, for the record, just want to say I generally agree with what you said.
Any comments on the financial committee, subcommittee from anyone up here? Okay, that gets us to the environmental committee. Is there a report from the environmental committee? How about the engineering committee?
No, there is.
Okay, that takes care of the subcommittees, and that gets us to the only other item on the agenda tonight, and that is the update on potential WRF sites and public outreach efforts. So I think we start with public comment, do we not? And so there's going to be a lot of people that want to make their comments, and we want to give you your full 3 minutes. We hope that you have thought through what you're going to say and help us out up here. So do you want to give your report to give them meat to talk about?
Yes, we'll start with the presentation, and then once the presentation is over,
okay, then
we'll get through that as quickly
then,
as possible. Typically, it would go to board comments.
I stand corrected. Why don't you go ahead, Rob?
Typically, it would go to board comment questions, and then you would after the board has an opportunity to ask questions, then you'd open it up for public comment.
Okay, so we'll start with the board questions then.
After the presentation.
After the presentation. Okay. It's yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The staff report for agenda item B2 gives a brief summary of the item. This is actually a discussion item, so we're looking for input from the Citizens Advisory Committee and members of the public at this time on the draft technical report that we've attached.
Hey, Mike, can I interrupt you for a second?
Yes.
Can we get some more chairs out?
Do we have some capable men? There's a rollaway stack of chairs in that door there, and if you could pull it out and throw them in the back, that would be great. There you go,
Mr. Chair. I'll give it a few minutes to get the chairs out, and then we'll start once folks have.
So why don't we give the chairs a minute? Good shot, Dale.
We'll go through Mike's presentation first, then you're less.
Just waiting for folks to get their chairs out. We didn't want to start until folks had settled. But we will do the presentation first.
All right.
And then get comments from the advisory committee, okay. And then go to public comment.
Questions
from the advisory committee.
Okay, we can proceed now with the presentation by staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to turn this over to John Rickenbach, the Deputy Program Manager. He's going to walk through what we've done the last 60 days as directed by Council, also as recommended by the Citizens Advisory Committee, give the findings of that analysis, any additional information that we've uncovered, and then present our latest discussion or analysis of the sites and potential issues.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Mr. Chair, board members, and the audience. That's exactly what we're going to do here. We're going to report back. That's really the point of what the staff report was all about, information that will help the council make a decision on what site to further review through through a facility master plan and the EIR. We've learned a lot in the last couple of months. I want to outline here what we're going to be talking about. I think we need to, as always, start with the community goals, because everything comes from that and the ability to achieve those goals. We want to review what the council asked us to do, what we've actually done, and some of the conclusions we've come to that will form a basis for discussion and ultimately allow the council to move forward in one way or another. This is, from our perspective, technical information, or some of it's non-technical, but it's really intended to be factual information. It's not politically driven in any way. It's really intended to provide a direction for you and the council. And let's back up here. In general, what have we done in the last couple of months? We've done a lot of outreach in different forms. We'll tell you a little bit about that. I think many people here know about that. Well, we've reached out not only to CSD to the extent possible, I think Ginny provided a good context there, but also to other agencies who might have a say in the permitting process, including Coastal Commission, LAFCO, and the county as well. We explored sites we've looked at. We've tried to identify other sites that may have potential and are presenting information, not just environmental information, but cost information. We actually have some cost information and other information not in your report that we've been able to develop even over the last few days. We'll be able to present some of that. And then we're going to be basing some conclusions, or drawing some conclusions from all that. And we're looking at it through a slightly different lens than we did before. Before it was, here are the environmental factors, here are the goals, and all those are still true. But we also have to look at the goals in the context of achievability from a timing and cost perspective and how risk comes into play. And in other words, things that lead to time delays, which lead to cost issues. We'll go through that a bit. So let's start with the goals. Up here, I'm not going to repeat them all, except for you'll notice a few of them are highlighted because those are the ones that pertain most directly to the WRF itself. That is to say, to produce tertiary disinfected wastewater, do it cost-effectively in terms of reclamation as well, treat for contaminants of emerging concern. Compatibility with neighboring land use is always a very important consideration, and also doing it all within 5 years. The ones that are not highlighted are not necessarily connected with the WRF per se, but are community goals connected with the possibility of co-locating different facilities, including composting, energy recovery, and other municipal uses, which could include a courtyard. So if you want to think of those as two separate things, I think that's important to keep in mind, because the bold ones are the must-haves. The non-bold ones are the would-like-to-haves, if possible, if it works on the site. So let's talk about what the council asked us to do on March 8th. Two basic things. One is to investigate sites further, and another is to do more outreach. Regarding site investigation, they were looking for additional insights on the sites we've already looked at in the Moro Valley, in particular Rancho Colina and Rigetti, because those were the top sites in the Moro Valley, but also to revisit the Tri-W and Chevron sites, which we'd looked at to some extent before, and compare them to those sites, and especially talk about cost issues related to all of them. They also asked us to look in the Moro Valley, since that would be the overall ideal location relative to reclamation opportunities. Are there any other sites in the Moro Valley that might work? And as I said, finally, to update cost estimates, which last we prepared back in 2013. It's actually been a good exercise to do, because you can see how things have changed since 2013, just because it's been 3 years. We also, as part of the effort, it was important to conduct more outreach. That went on a few different avenues. We conducted workshops, two of those, plus attended farmers markets on April 7, 9, 14. 10 and 14, I believe, of this month in different forms. We also worked with the council to reach out to CSD to explore the possibility of getting back together. I'll be able to report on that a bit. And then visiting other facilities that might use similar technologies as the type that are being contemplated here. Obviously, no one's situation is exactly the same as ours, but we were in a position to be able to do that as well. Let's talk about all these things. First, let's talk about outreach. One of the things that we produced was a flyer that was intended to be mailed to everybody in the city, including property owners who don't live in the city, who may have property here or interests here. We realize there are some people who actually didn't get that, and we're working with the post office to figure out why that happened. But the intent was to get it to everybody, and I think most people did. And I think the intent of that was, in general, to lay out what we knew at that time and where the processes come at that time. I think we've gotten a lot of feedback from people who aren't necessarily even here today, but at the workshops that we did and at Farmers Market, and it really answered a lot of people's questions. But for some people, obviously, there remain many questions. We understand that. We also did outreach efforts, two workshops. One was a weekday, one was a weekend, one was an evening, one was an afternoon, to respond to different concerns. We weren't capturing everybody's ability to attend. They were really the same workshop. And again, to go through some of the things we've already done and what we intend to do. Those were done a couple of weeks ago, or a few weeks ago at this point. We attended both farmers markets. I thought those were very informative, actually, in particular the one at Spencer's. because I think that one was more geared toward residents who just shop at the market. The other one, we had a lot of people from out of town. That was interesting, too, to hear comments from people out of town to get their perspective on all this as well. We also, in investigating different sites in the Moro Valley, we actually talked with residents who actually live on the valley floor in particular, who might be near any of these sites, to really get their insights. And we really did get some very good feedback there as well that relate to these, and we'll get to that in a bit. So it was a sort of a comprehensive fact-finding approach, which really was beneficial, and a lot of that information was weaved in the report that's part of your packet today. This is just a snapshot of part of the flyer. I think everybody in this room has probably seen this, but just to show for those who haven't had a chance or didn't see that in their mail when it came, that this is one page of several that were in there that were intended to provide more information on the project. So let's talk about the outreach relative to different agencies. First of all, with regard to the Cayuga Sanitary District, from a staff-to-staff level, we speak with them quite often. But at a formal level, I think in order to get something to happen to come back together, it was important to reach out formally, and the council did that. They sent a letter to Cayucas. It's in your packet. It's part of Appendix B of our report on April 7th, which essentially said a lot of people in both communities have really been interested in keeping costs down and keeping rates down, and we've always left the door open. Since the time that Cayucas on April 30, 2015, made a resolution to go independently apart from the process. So the council is essentially reaching out to see, again, we know there have been reasons to go apart, but there may be reasons to come back together, and we'd like to do that. We'd also, whether or not you want to, we support whatever you do. So it was really an effort to try to show support. And whatever happens, we'll need to work together on the decommissioning of the current plant and the outfall and the future use of that. So that went out. And a couple of weeks later, Cayucas responded, a very nice letter as well, that essentially said, we know we'll have to cooperate together on the decommissioning of the plant and the outfall, but we really are going on our own path, and we think it's going to be better for us, especially from their perspective in terms of getting things done more quickly, to just move forward on their own site. And in fact, they are moving forward on an EIR scoping meeting for a site that they've selected, which in essentially what's the Chevron area relative to our project. So that was the response. They also were not interested in any kind of mediation. They made that very clear. They just were ready to move forward. So again, the door remains open, I think, from the city council's perspective, but I think Cayucas' response was very clear. And that also colors some of the conclusions in our reports. We met with the California Coastal Commission staff. We actually met with a whole group of staff, about five of them, including Dan Carl, this month, to talk about all these sites and some of the issues related to each of these sites. That was very informative. From their perspective, there's really no fatal flaws with any of the sites. Some of them have more concerns than others, as you might expect, related to issues they're concerned about, whether that's viewing from public highways within the coastal zone, such as 41 or Highway 1, coastal streams, prime ag. Those are the kind of things they might be concerned about. And ultimately, in the larger sense, they were glad that we're doing something on some site. I think they'll end up being supportive of whatever we do. Some have more complications than others, because at the end of the day, I think their main concern was, gosh, we're moving away from the coast, which I think was the original impetus of all this. So that was the gist of the discussions with coastal staff. We met, or I spoke with LAFCO, David Church at LAFCO, to again talk about all these sites relative to how it worked relative to annexation or not. And I think his basic feedback was, again, general support. I think any of them would work from LAFCO's perspective. It's a question of mechanics of how to make that work. Because from LAFCO's perspective, it's improving public services. It's improving water quality. It's intended to make things better from one of the concerns LAFCO has, and that's to provide municipal services. So, again, it was good feedback from them. Talked with San Luis Obispo County on a few fronts, one of which was dealing with Williamson Act issues, which I'll get into a bit with regard to one of the sites we're talking about. but also how permitting would work. And again, I think at the staff level, they expressed a lot of support and understanding of where the process is going so far. So that was all pretty good. And then relative to helping you and the city council to, visualize what might be built here, we were able to arrange a meeting to Santa Paula and Fillmore to look at plants that aren't exactly going to be what we're doing, but technologically might have some similar technologies used. They're both MBR plants, which is an advanced technology that we're likely to consider here. They have different situations, obviously. Both of those plants are, in particular in the case of Fillmore, not right next to any homes or anything like that. Santa Paula, a little bit closer. They both use different ways of addressing their specific concerns, but mostly the value in that was to be able to talk to different operators of different plants to get a feel for how it works and what they look like, and several of you were there for that, a couple of council members, and actually a couple from the public were able to come. We appreciate that, although quite honestly, primarily it was really for your benefit and the council's to see what it is you'd be considering in those cases. So let's talk about the sites themselves. This was sort of at the heart of what the council asked us to do. And the first thing they asked us to do, or one of the things they asked, was to explore the potential for other Moro Valley sites. That was an interesting question to ask us because we'd obviously been focused on Rancho Colina and Rigetti, and that focus has been there for 3 years. There had been other sites looked at in the past before that, but rejected previously for one reason or another. Many of those for coastal issues or perceived coastal issues. It's one of the things we talked to the Coastal Commission staff about back 3 years ago when we looked at sites in the past. To what degree was your input part of rejecting previous sites? And I think the reality was a lot of that was sort of at the very high level. Would it meet coastal criteria as well as some of the other sites? And I think some other sites were discarded then because it just weren't quite to the same level of consistency, or less, they'd be more complicated than some of the ones we ended up looking at. So Coastal was sort of open to the idea of revisiting old sites. So we did that. We had to look for sites that met basic criteria having to do with elevation, distance from the city. The size of the site had to be big enough. The slopes had to be not so bad. And when you boil all that down, that narrowed it to sites pretty close to the city still. We did talk to different property owners. We also talked to folks in the valley who are growers to get a feel for their needs. And the long and short of all that was we were able to zero in on one site that we're calling the Madonna property. It's actually owned by Madonna. And it's right across, essentially, from the Rancho Colina site. It met most of the criteria we're talking about. We did meet with property representatives, and we conducted some preliminary work to that extent, again, to see if it even made any sense. And here's that site right now. It's in your packet, and it's a little hard to provide a little context. I do have another map I'll show you in a minute, but it's about 144 acres. You'll see there's a big red blob there on the left. That area on the left is within a 17-acre, pretty much flat site right there. You see Highway 41, the red line coming from the left side up to the top. And if you were able to go off the page to the left, you'd be at the Rancho Colina site. So it's essentially right across the street from the Rancho Colina site. A difference there is that it's sitting back several hundred feet and behind a row of eucalyptus trees. It's also on the other side of Moro Creek. But we thought because it's flat, because it's actually available for sale right now, and because it seems to meet the criteria, let's explore that a little bit. Is it possible to do something there? So we did explore that a bit. We'll talk about what we found when we did that exploring and some of the reasons why maybe it wasn't looked at or why it wasn't looked at in more detail previously. But it's got some potential there we want to discuss. So that was a new site to consider in the mix. So the other four sites, and we just named them 1 through 5, were Rancho Colina, Rigetti, Tri-W, Chevron Toro Creek along Toro Creek, and this new Madonna site. We wanted to compare their costs, compare different issues that are both environmental, physical, regulatory issues, And then this is the important part. Consider risk involved and its effect on timing and cost that relates to any of these sites. And by risk, we mean things that come up that will have the tendency to delay the process, which will lead potentially to cost escalation. So let's talk about that for a minute. What does that mean? Well, here's how time delays relate to cost escalation. We found, for example, just looking at our cost estimates from 2013 and comparing them to the ones we just did for these sites, essentially the same kind of project, pipelines are pipelines, but costs go up, everything goes up a bit, we found cost escalation in that time is about 8%, which is essentially 2% per year compounded a little bit, a little over 2%. So if you think every year is 2% more, so that will, delays will result in higher costs. There's no question about that. And that's one of the key reasons why, among others, why completing it as fast as possible keeps costs down. And that's why the 5-year time frame, while it also meets water quality issues and needs and directives, also serves the cost perspective as well. What are some things that cause time delays? One would be things that come up in the EIR process we haven't seen before or hadn't anticipated. We're hoping to ferret those issues out as best we can now, but we realize things do come up through an EIR process. The complexity of permitting can lead to time delays. For example, if we had to deal with issues that were unusual issues, whether they had to do with Fish and Wildlife, Department of Conservation, with Williamson Act properties, for example, and such, or unusual LAFCO issues, that may lead to delays. Obviously, public opposition and or legal challenges could lead to delays. I think that one goes without saying. And that factors into the thinking here as well in our report. And this last one's very important as well. Changing direction once a project begins. That is to say, we go down the path and we find there's a reason to go down a new path or just a desire to go down a new path and explore a new site. Well, that's change of direction. That obviously is a do-over to some extent. I think the most extreme version of that is in Los Osos, where they went well down a path and then a new direction, and that led to significant cost changes. And to give you a rough idea of what that might mean or what that did mean in their case, back in 1989, as Rob will tell you, he was well aware and involved in that project at that time. I think the cost estimates to do that project were in the neighborhood of $54 million. By the time all was said and done, and it went forward and then went backward and went forward again, and here we are today, I think it's better than tripled that cost. So that's what we mean by changes in direction leading to cost escalation. This graph, we won't go into much detail, but it's really just a projection, a theoretical projection of how cost would go up over time. This is over a 10-year period. The red and the blue represent, the blue represents really the actual theoretical construction cost, and these are theoretical costs. Remember, any costs we're going to present here today are intended as planning level cost estimates. We can't know the actual cost till we get into the facility master plan, but from a rough standpoint, from a comparative standpoint, this is all very useful. That red bar on top essentially represents 30% contingency, 30% design, admin, and construction management. Typical costs you'd include in a rough planning estimate, which may be scaled back, likely to be scaled back as you get into details, but we really want to present an outer envelope. And I think this is important in the context relative to Cayucas. I'm not sure if they accounted for this in their preliminary cost estimates as well. We're trying to be as comprehensive, and so there are no surprises to anyone, and hopefully we can scale things back as we drill into the details of the project. So that's some context for risk, time, and money and how it works. So now let's talk about the sites in that context, one by one. This map shows you where they all are relative to one another. It's a little hard to read at distance, but you can kind of see, I think everyone's pretty familiar with Rigetti and Rancho Colina. You see Highway 41 there. Rigetti is the site closest to the city. Rancho Colina, the next one on the north side of Highway 41 there. You see right across the street from Rancho Colina, that's where the Madonna site is. You can see where that is. Where we put red blobs, that's really where we're focusing on as the best locations for developing a facility at any of those locations for a variety of reasons, mostly because they're the most level or the lowest elevation portions of those sites. Then you can see to the top of the page, that's the Chevron Toro Creek site. That's essentially where Cayucas is focusing on for their project right now. And then you see at the bottom, the Tri-W site. We'll get into that a bit, but I think there's been some confusion. We need to clear up what the Tri-W site means. Tri-W site is actually two properties, both owned by Tri-W Enterprises. One is within the city, one is within the county. Collectively, they're about 550 acres. Down there, the city portion is right up against Highway 1. The county portion, above that yellow line in the middle of the Tri-W site, is within the county, and you see two red blobs on the far eastern side. When our investigation was all said and done, those are really the most promising areas within Tri-W for a lot of reasons. We'll get into that. So Tri-W is a very large site, but it has some limited areas that work best, but those areas do work very well. Let's talk about costs for a moment. And, of course, I'm going to go through this, and you'll have questions. And when the questions come, Mike will be in a better position to answer specifics. But really, we want to show this for comparative purposes here. What we try to do is simplify some of the information in your report. And relative to the project right now, this focuses on phase one construction costs. That's the WRF-related costs. That's what the first row shows. And that's without contingencies, it's without anything. Those are just construction costs. When you look at that, the range is between $67 million at Rigetti and $81 million at Chevron. Those are relative costs. One thing we put in our report was to say plus... This is with contingencies. I'm sorry. That's with contingencies. But it doesn't include the phase two aspects that would go at the beginning, which would include higher level of treatment, could be RO, and it also doesn't include the pipeline costs related to the extension of reclaimed water infrastructure. So that's what that second row puts on top of that. So you can see how it increases costs up into the close to the $100 million range for any of the sites, plus or minus a little bit. One of the comments we received from the public was, well, gosh, your report says a 25% plus or minus cost on these estimates, so aren't they all essentially the same cost? Well, I think the way to look at that is, yes, 25% plus or minus relative to our given estimates. You know, a pipeline is a pipeline is a pipeline. Cost estimate for a pipeline may go up or down within that. But we know one site may require more pipeline than another. So one site's going to be more costly than another. What this table shows is relative to one another, one site's going to be less, one site's going to be more. We know that Rigetti, because of its proximity to the city, is going to be less from that perspective. We know Chevron, being the farthest, is going to be more. There's a lot of nuances in that, and detailed in our report. But to give you a sense of what this means, we're looking at costs that range right here. And the range, you can see it in front of you. We want to talk about that a little bit here on the next slide.
Well, before you get there, on those dollars, that was for phase one and phase two. In other words, you included in those estimates some form of water reclamation rather than the basic sewer treatment plant, if you will.
That's correct. What it included, the phase one costs, are costs for tertiary treatment with disinfection. The phase two costs include reverse osmosis, UV treatment, and it also includes a pump station and a pipeline back to Highway 41 from wherever we might be.
Just to differentiate that is that by legal criteria on what we need to do as a sewer treatment plant, we have to have phase one. And then your phase two is another decision that we have to make in the future on how or if we reclaim our water and what we're going to do with it.
Phase one gives you tertiary treatment with disinfection, which was a city goal. And then it also gives you the wet weather disposal or a brine disposal back to the outfall. Phase one does not give you a recycled water delivery system. Okay. Or provide water to recycled water customers. Phase one and phase two includes the advanced treatment for salt removal and also for a more advanced disinfection step. And it includes the uh, a, a transmission pipeline to get back to. And if you look, we've got a second bullet there that says costs for the regional reuse system are not included. The costs not included here would be groundwater injection wells or a delivery system directly to agricultural users, for example, or a pipeline back to the city water treatment plant if you go with direct potable reuse or indirect potable reuse in the future. So it includes a pipeline back to essentially Highway 41 because that delivery system may not vary that much depending on the sites. That's the assumption we made, is the regional reuse system would be similar for any of these locations. Now, there's a caveat there, and the Tri-W site, we'll talk about that later, presents an opportunity because you'd be between two city groundwater basins. You'd be between Moro and Choro. So the flavor or the opportunities of recycled water might be different there than it is at the others. The most cost-effective approach could be a combination of recharge of both groundwater basins, or there could be flexibility to do both. So that's the caveat I would have with that site versus the others. That's not reflected here.
I just wanted to assure our audience here and elsewhere that the phase one element and the dollars thereof is the legal requirement for us to meet the Regional Water Quality Board's criteria, the Coastal Commission's criteria, and so forth and so on for taking care of our sewage. After that, then we make decisions on how we're going to reclaim and how we can make money doing that, where we can break even another. And that's another step and another decision-making process that we're going to have to address later.
Okay, the good clarification and good discussion there. So in that context right there, and we can come back to this when you have questions, but to put it into a rough perspective what this means, that phase one plus the elements of phase two that Mike talked about, if you compare Tri-W to, so let's compare the sites that are outside the Moro Valley to the ones inside the Moro Valley, because everyone's been focused on the idea the lowest cost options are in the Moro Valley because of proximity to reclamation and the city's collection system. So Tri-W, if you compared it to those, it's about 7 to 15% more cost than the Moro Valley sites, depending on the site, with the 15% being a comparison to Rigetti, because that's the lowest cost in the Moro Valley, 7% being Madonna, which will be the highest cost one in the valley. If you compared Chevron to those, the difference is bigger. It's 13 to 22% more. So obviously that's the highest cost effort there. Chevron also is the farthest, not only from the Moro Valley reclamation, it's much farther from Choro Valley, so it's really not close to any reclamation opportunities for the city. For Cayucas, it might be different. They're closer to their own facilities and their own agriculture there, but if our focus is to put it closer to the city's wells, it doesn't have the same benefit as it would Cayucas. So, again, to close up the idea of cost for the moment, so these cost estimates don't account for time delays and cost escalation that might result from sources of risk, including public opposition, challenges, permitting complexities. That's an important consideration. In other words, those costs that we're showing there, those are a point in time right now. If we could start on one of those projects right now, it's what it would cost. But if we had to delay 3 years or 4 years and you add 2% a year, you've suddenly increased the cost at whatever site it is by 2% a year. It could be 8 or 10%. So in other words, a site that today might be 10% more expensive, if you had to delay to go to the same site for 4 years, it might be the same cost. And you would have lost those 4 years where water quality might have been improved during that time. So that's a consideration in the mix as well. So those cost estimates also don't account for any potential savings through project design if the wharf is built at a location with fewer constraints. In other words, if you built a wharf in an area where no one's going to see it anyway, you don't necessarily have to make it designed in such a way that is more expensive from an aesthetic perspective. So those are considerations in cost as well, which we didn't account for. We really wanted to roughly compare apples to apples on basic issues like pipelines and a similar design. Now, one thing not in the report, but we were able to work with those numbers and the rate study information that we have right now, and Mike can explain this a bit better than I can, maybe I'll let him do it, is we wanted to translate these in rough terms of what it might mean to sewer rates. Now, this is new information. To give you a sense of an order of magnitude. And Mike, maybe I'll just let you go through this a bit.
Sure. So what we did, we obtained a copy of, we obtained a rate model from the city's rate study consultant. And what we did is we plugged in our numbers with and without contingencies in terms of our capital costs for the Phase 1 and Phase 2 project, just to see roughly. And again, don't get caught up whether it's $3.10 or $3.50, but roughly what range of impact might the different decisions, the different siting decisions really have? Because when we say something's $90 million or $120 million, you know, that's not really meaningful to folks. The question is, what's the rate impact? So if we looked at Grigetti as the baseline, then to be at Rancho Colina and Madonna, both locations within the Moore Valley, adds between, say, $3 and $6 a month per residence.
Let me ask you just real quick, what percentage on contingencies are you using?
We're using 30% contingency.
30%?
That's correct. And at very preliminary point in the planning process, that's where you ought to be, honestly. Because as time goes on, the thing you need to do or the thing we need to do through the facility master plan and master reclamation plan is hammer down the costs, get more refined, and pull down those contingencies. But the challenge right now is you've got to get through that preliminary design phase. Those contingencies are to account for the things that you don't know yet.
I was just going to point out that it could be as low as 20%, though, too.
It absolutely could be. Now, the thing that I would suggest is a good time to bring it down to the 20 to 25% range is after you get through the facility master plan. That's really critical to nail down these costs because we've got to get through some preliminary design, look at earthwork quantities and site layouts, and really. But the thing is, we don't want to do that for five sites because what you'll do is you'll spend $1 million going through five sites to do that to the right level of to a comfortable degree of accuracy.
Dale?
This doesn't include the cost of the property to acquire the properties?
The cost of the properties, the difference in the property cost is going to be, say, is going to be in the neighborhood of 1% or 2% of the overall project cost when we look at the total program. So
is it in there? His question was, is property acquisition in those estimates?
It's within the contingency. Okay. That's where I would say that's captured.
Mike, if I could just make a quick suggestion, you're referring,
sure.
These are based on what's in our agenda on Table 2, correct?
Yes.
The contingencies, the Phase 1 and Phase 2, I would move, if this is going to Council, I would move those line items under the estimated Phase 1 cost because the contingency is really, there's two factors of that contingency, Phase 1, Phase 2, and it's bundled here together. I think it's a little bit confusing, so
okay.
Just move that down, split them out, and it'll make a lot more sense.
We'll do that. What we may do is just split the two tables, too.
Phase 1
table,
better.
Phase 2 table, that'll be clean.
Better,
yeah. Thank
we
you.
We can do that. That's a good suggestion. Thank you. So the costs, again, include the Phase 1 and Phase 2 water reclamation facility within the limits that we discussed earlier. But that sewer rate increase, for now, it's for discussion purposes. One concept, the goal is select a site and then begin to start hammering down those costs. Start figuring out where you align the pipes, how you bring the costs down. But again, the challenge is where we're at in the process. You don't have the time to do that for all five sites.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
And then ag reuse is not part of that?
Not yet. No, that's correct. That's correct. So let's talk about each of the sites. Now, the report, this is what the focus of your report was, but we want to kind of walk you through a little bit, mostly the public and those who have not had a chance to go through the report. We wanted to look at each site relative to its opportunities and potential constraints. We have a summary table at the end. We've heard some feedback that, gosh, that's a pretty subjective summary table at the end, and truth is it is. And one thing we didn't want to do was put too fine a point on the pros and the cons and just point out the bigger picture issue is none of these are perfect sites. They've all got ups. They've all got downs. And I think that there's some things that have to be weighed, and that's the tough part in trying to weigh this through. That's why the risk factors we talked about are important in the discussion. But Rancho Colina, we know this one pretty well. We know it's generally a pretty good proximity to reclamation opportunities in the Moro Valley. We also know that Mr. McIlvain has talked about wells he has that might be transferable to the city. That has some attractiveness. There's the potential to get rid of the old wastewater plant that serves the Rancho Colina community there as well. And there might be more customers in that community if they're brought online and more revenue. So those are all pros there. It does have some downsides relative to limited acreage available, 8 acres on a tough spot near the community right there. And the city would be limited to just WRF-only uses, which is not a killer by any means, but it is limited. So there's going to be no potential for anything else that the city might want to co-locate. It's very visually prominent from Highway 41 as far as more than a half a mile to the east. So that's a Coastal Commission-type concern. And it's close to a neighborhood. And although we haven't had a lot of feedback in the same way we have had at Rigetti, you never know what happens through the process. So we wanted, that's an important thing. I think until now we've been focused on the idea of land use compatibility. I think from our perspective, a project could be made to be compatible from noise, visual, every other way, but we also know that a lot of people in different neighborhoods don't buy that. And even if you could, just don't want it there. We know that, and that's less a compatibility issue as just a plain old proximity issue that might relate to property values or perceived effects on property values. Any way you want to slice it, we know that being close is not the ideal situation from a people being happy perspective, put it that way. So we know there are people who are close to Rancho Colina as well. Rigetti, we know this one very well, has some of the same upsides as Rancho Colina. It's close to reclamation. We know the property's available. Right now, the option that the city purchased for $25,000, a six-month option, is actually up on July 26th. The city at that point would have the potential to purchase another option for $100,000 that would last another 400 days. So that's the issue at Rigetti. That's an upside in the sense there is potential control for the city that we know about right now. It's the lowest cost option for all the reasons we talked about before. That's when you don't account for any time delays or anything else, but we do know, relatively speaking, it's the lowest cost option because of its proximity to the city's collection system and its low elevation. We also know on the site, if the city were to purchase it, it's something that's been talked about before, though I think some people are concerned this wouldn't happen, is that the remainder of the site could be put into a conservation easement of one sort or another, ag conservation, open space conservation, which has an upside relative to the long-term tying up that site in such a way that no other uses could occur. Now, those are all speculative at this point, but that is a potential upside. A big downside, we already know, very well aware of strong public opposition from the neighborhood there. We've heard that very clearly from many people there in many different ways, through workshops, letters, and such. I think they'll tell you more about that today. I won't go into a great amount of detail about that. I think we know all that. But we do identify that as a potential source of risk from a time delay perspective. If that can't be resolved, whether there's actual legal challenges, whether it's just opposition that leads to more study or whatever it might be, that's all time, and time is money. And so that's a factor we need to consider. So from a purely dispassionate perspective, that's the way we look at it. The issues, whether they have actual merit or not is almost not relevant. It's just that's a fact that we're up against right there. So,
this is, you mentioned Los Osos earlier, about the back and forth and how those costs escalated. I was involved there back in 2005, and let me refresh a little bit of memory there. There was the community service district that had a 3-5 majority. Those three that approved that sewer plant location right in the middle of town, which was an issue, those people clear-cutted all those trees to prepare for that. and a manager at that time was from Montgomery Watson and Harja. Okay, they clear cut it 3 days before they got recalled. Okay, so that contentious issue of back and forth, we have to be very conscious of good public will. And this is why you're mentioning and being clear about the opposition with the Rigetti site. I see that kind of mirroring over here.
And we're aware of that, too, and we appreciate that. And obviously we've all been, we've had Los Osos as a good example to see how things have played out in the past in this issue. The only other real significant, from our view, environmental constraint, and it's not a hugely significant one, are the coastal drainages on site. We'd have to design around those. We talked to Coastal Commission about that. From their perspective, that's a doable issue as long as the function of the drainages from the downstream side are maintained. So that, at the end of the day, is not a major issue. We've also heard a lot about slopes and other issues, visual noise. If you look at it in, from a certain way, those are all designable. But we do know that it doesn't really matter to some extent. We do know that there's going to be concern. So that's how we look at Rigetti right now. Let's talk about Tri-W. So Tri-W, as I said, is really two parcels. And I want to point out here there's a county parcel and a city parcel. And I know that some have mentioned, well, let's talk about the city parcel. And if you can see on that map right there, the city parcel is the one at the lower left, just adjacent to Highway 1. It's got a little notch taken out of it there. And that notch really is related to potential future commercial development on the Tri-W parcel. The remainder of that city parcel is pretty hilly, and it's pretty easily seen from Highway 1. We know that's a coastal concern. And we also know as you get farther to the west, you're pretty close to a neighborhood there. So we know or we can anticipate similar kinds of issues relative to what might be happening relative to any of the Moro Valley sites. Because of all those things, and because within the county parcel there's a whole lot better sites available, we focused on the county side. You see two red blobs on the far right side. Those sites up there are anywhere from 1,500 feet to over 2,000 feet from Highway 1. The lower blob of the two, although you probably wouldn't know this or it doesn't look intuitive, actually is not visible from Highway 1 or anybody else. It actually tucks behind a hillside, and even from Casa de Flores, which is the senior residential community, there's no direct line of sight at all between that and there. The one farther up doesn't have it either, although briefly you can see it from Highway 1 at a distance of almost a half a mile. Both those red blobs are nearly flat. The lower of the two actually has a certain advantage in that you don't have to cross any coastal streams or any drainages whatsoever to get there. So first of all, you don't have neighbors, so that minimizes risk from that perspective. It's not visible. Big flat sites, and I mean big flat sites, 15 acres each. Maybe there's 30 flat or nearly flat acres up there. So in other words, from a perspective, I put the green ones up as the obvious pros here, but the other ones are important too. With a lot of big flat acreage, you could theoretically do a lot of things for the city, potentially.
John?
So, yes.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
On our maps, we only showed the one blob.
Yeah.
I assume it's the lower blob is the one that all your cost comparisons are based on. Is that correct?
That's correct.
What's the purpose of the second blob?
Just to point out, and it's referred to in the report, to point out that there's actually more than one pretty good site up here.
Oh, okay. So you're just showing that you have
sure.
more than one spot.
Sure. That one may not be as good in some ways, but better in others because it's bigger and flatter. There's ways to design for either one,
oh, okay.
I guess.
Thank you.
But the point is, you know, certain things like energy recovery, solar, potentially up here. There's nobody around. It's possible. Other things such as a courtyard. Potentially possible. Access is pretty good.
John, sure. One thing that I would like to make clear to everyone as well is what kind of a footprint would be required for a facility that would meet all the requirements of not only processing the sewage, but also any future plans for reclamation requirements that we may consider as a city later on.
Sure.
Are we looking at a footprint of 10 acres, 15 acres, 5 acres?
Actually, yeah, to be conservative, we'll call it 10 to 15, but the reality is it could be much less. when we looked at the plants in Santa Paula and Fillmore, both of those were on sites that were on footprints 1 to 2 to 3 acres.
That's right.
So they were very small. Right. So one thing we want to point out here, again, we're trying to be conservative all along the way.
Well, that's okay, but yeah. You know, we need a perspective. Hundreds of acres or tens of acres or 5 acres.
Can be very small. Could be less than 5, but again, for planning purposes, again, that's why, for example, even Rigetti works. That's why Rancho Colina works. It's why Madonna, it's why any of these sites could work. We really could do it that way. So that's all important stuff for Tri-W. And another perhaps more subtle advantage we hadn't really worked through in the past was, you know, when you come down Highway 41 on the Morrow sites, the pipelines, would the best way to get down to the collection system is to go down 41. You're going within Caltrans right away. It's a doable thing. We know there's cultural resources there too, but it's all theoretically doable. Here, you actually could do it without going in Caltrans right of way. Except for crossing Highway 1. You'd have to go along South Bay Boulevard under 1, but if you can get it to Quintana Road, then you're on city roadways all the way through. So there's a way to do that. So again, there's a potential upside relative to working with Caltrans on that. So those are upsides. What are the downsides? Well, honestly, the downside is cost. The downside, it's a higher cost, and that higher cost could be 15% higher than Rigetti. The factor that you have to consider in there relates to risk and time and delays. And the fact it's a cost situation that is a known situation. In other words, if it lasted 2 years, 3 years, 5 years through different election cycles, the potential for long-term change is probably less if you don't have as many sources of concern or challenge from the outside. So it's a more understandable long-term situation.
If I could add, too, another way to look at that is predictability of cost, which is really critical at this phase. We've talked a lot about the budgets and the contingencies, but the more predictable a project is, the higher the value is, I think, compared to, say, some other sites.
And theoretically, the lower the contingency.
That's correct. And you can start pulling the contingency down sooner.
That is one reason why a contingency is there, to account for those kinds of delays and such.
You mentioned on the Tri-W site we don't have the challenges of dealing with the Caltrans easements, correct? Mm-hmm. That we could potentially do that. The other issue is regarding all these sites, where are your estimates on where the collection system, like the major lift station, going to be located? Have you thought about where that location is going to be?
Sure. And if you recall from some of the earlier meetings we had, and I believe it's the Tech Memo 2 where we talked about lift station locations, Black and Veatch had 8 or 10 different sites, narrowed it down to 2 or 3 that were the least costly in the best position in the general vicinity of the existing wastewater plant, either on the site or immediately off the site. The assumption is this lift station, for the purposes of comparing these sites, doesn't matter a whole lot whether it's at the plant site or directly across the road, as long as we're using the same assumptions. The assumption right now is that wastewater plant is right on the corner of the existing property for this analysis.
Given that information, when I look at a project like this, like Tri-W, I'm thinking, from a collection standpoint, and we have a lift station that's already down there by Quintana and Main that we can deal with that. The question I have is, currently we are using the desal plant. Now, the desal plant is also critical infrastructure. So we're talking about a managed retreat, what the Coastal Commission is requiring, of critical infrastructure off the beach. But we're putting in a major lift station right in about the same area. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, recently I did a study on what New York City is environmental impact group is doing with regards to Hurricane Sandy and the critical infrastructure and the lift station that occurred there, okay, and how they're handling that.
And what they've found is that, you know, that moving the electrical systems up and, and sealing and doing that, so we avoid, sewage spills, which I'm sure that your design team is going to take into account. With regards to the Tri-W and moving that sewage out there, okay, are we thinking of integrating, as right now, some of the infrastructure that needs to be built or rebuilt in the aquifer? And then the other question is, with regards, one of the things that I didn't see in your report that I think is highly valuable is the fact that at the Tri-W site, you mentioned earlier that this can potentially address Moro Valley and also Choro Valley. Now, if we rise to the level of incorporating phase two and having a reclamation site where we can recharge aquifers, by addressing the Choro Valley, currently the State Water Decision 1633 does not allow the city to pump their wells there. But this is something that I think is really something that needs to be in that analysis, because it may be that just the thing to rise the cost and then mitigate those costs down when we reclaiming the water, getting ourselves off the supply of state water, which is going to be diminishing, getting more expensive all the time. So I just want to kind of make make that a note, that those, by having that site there, there is a higher potential for reclaimed use.
There also is within that watershed the golf course.
Yeah.
And so one of the opportunities is they're a very small user. If you had a facility located in Moro Valley, you may not consider, it might be expensive to get a pipeline to the golf course, but if you're located here, it might be a little closer. Right. So there are a bunch of, what it really does is selecting a site for planning master planning and permitting is really important. And one of the reasons it's important is because when we get a site, one of the things we can start doing through the master reclamation plan the city has the grant for is we can start looking at those opportunities and come up with a better recycled, more of a plan for recycled water. But we wouldn't want to come up with a plan for five sites.
Right.
So, but I hear you, and that's exactly, those are some of the discussions we've had. And with any of these projects, it's coordinating any of these sites, pipelines, and that sort of thing, like you're alluding to, with other city capital improvement projects. So if you combined waterline improvements with some of this work and that, or paving improvements and that sort of thing through Quintana Road, for example, that might give you an opportunity to share costs among different CIPs. And so there may be opportunities there, at any of these, even going up Atascadero Road, that are difficult to suss out right now because, the matrix just gets too big.
I just wanted to build onto his question there. Mm-hmm. One of the concerns that I had with the Moro Valley sites is, I guess you had the hydrogeologist talk with us, and the issue was how to get rid of the water, remember? And then you talked about the narrows, and it was sort of limited capacity for a million gallons of water a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at the Tri-W site, I know you haven't really done a lot of geotechnical analysis yet, but do you foresee there might be a problem injecting water there, similar to the Narrows?
So the thing I would say is any of the sites we look at, we are unlikely to be able to percolate or inject water at that location.
At any of them?
At any of them.
Including this one?
Including this one.
Okay.
So we wouldn't expect, based on what we know about the geology there, to be able to do that. But the thing I would point out, the fact that you're within, you're between the two watersheds,
mm-hmm.
We've talked about the concept of string flow augmentation as one that we've looked at both areas, Moro and Choro. We've talked about injection wells. We've talked about direct delivery for irrigation users, whether it's ag or golf courses, et cetera. That's all still on the table, either location. The thing that I think the geologists really got out of the work that they've done so far at Moro Valley is all that they've really concluded is you're not going to build percolation surface basins and get that water into the aquifer upstream of the narrows, but that you could still do injection wells downstream of the narrows and on the west side of Highway 1 and you could still find opportunities to introduce that to the aquifer, and that there are some percolation opportunities right at the surface of the narrows, but that was, it was questionable how much that could take on. So we haven't taken Morrow Valley off the table as an aquifer for recharge. There are still opportunities there with injection, but we also now would look more at Choro Valley as well, just because of proximity to this site.
If you were to compare the two, though, is this more favorable in terms of reinjecting?
It's difficult to say right now. It's something we'd have to investigate in terms of injection. One of the challenges with Choro Valley is you can only extract water when you're at over 1.2 CFS. The other challenge is that water has very high nitrates, and coming out of Choro Valley, it requires a high level of treatment, and the construction of the treatment facility is required to fully use that water. So that's all part of this equation. That's one of the reasons when we looked at the two aquifers, Morrow versus Choro Valley, we concluded that the opportunities are better in Morrow because you have nitrate issues in both basins. The difference is you have treatment on the wells at Morrow Valley, and you don't have, building a new treatment facility out at the Choro wells or building a pipeline there is added cost. But it's something that we would look at. Really, one of the opportunities I see is golf course irrigation, and there may be other opportunities for ag reuse and that sort of thing up the basin.
You guys, our audience has been very, very patient with us, and mm-hmm. I guaranteed them that they would be involved in 10 minutes after they got here, and here it is an hour and a half later. I was wondering whether we could move on
and give
them a chance to help us out here.
I'll wrap it up in about 2 minutes then.
Okay.
Just to go through the rest, Chevron, I won't go into many details. It's the highest cost option. We know there's few neighbors, but we also know from CSD's scoping meeting that some of the neighbors up there are concerned about a location there, and they're 500 to 1,000 feet away. So we know that's an issue. We also know trying to get back together with CSD or trying to co-locate there will inevitably cause coordination issues we've been struggling with for a few years already. So that's an issue at Chevron as well. Then Madonna, the new site, it's a good flat site in there, and it's hard to see from Highway 41. That's all great. But we also know from talking to neighbors around there, again, it's the same dynamic setting up as for Rigetti. There's a lot of folks who are concerned about having it near that location who live at one property one way or another for the same reasons the Rigetti neighbors are concerned about that location. So, again, it presents the same challenges in that respect. You're also having to cross the Morrow Creek. Probably a new bridge would be needed. Williamson Act contract, the property is under ag contract, that's not insurmountable. We've talked to the state about that. It could be done. It would require some steps to get through that, but it's doable. But again, permitting complexity. And then ultimately, and that's the issue there. So it's got its own sets of risks, and it's not cheaper than Rigetti, and it's not got the advantages of Tri-W. So that's our conclusion about Madonna. So at the end of the day, here's our overall look at it. Any of the Morrow Valley sites have lower initial cost estimates, with the Rigetti being lowest. There's a high risk of opposition or challenge at any of the sites. We know about Rigetti and we know about Madonna already. We know Rancho Colina is limited in size and it's near neighbors too. So best guess, we could anticipate some time delays and cost escalation at any of these sites, and some of that short-term cost advantage may tend to disappear over time. But those are things to think about. Relative to the Tri-W, there's no neighbor, so it's lower risk. It's more predictable over the long haul. It's a large site. It's got a higher initial cost estimate, but again, that may be scaled back, possible to scale back because of its relative lack of visibility and because of predictability and such. It, as we've just discussed, centrally located between the Morrow and Choro Valley, and there might be some opportunities in Choro Valley for reclamation. And there's the Caltrans right-of-way opportunity that we hadn't really thought about before. So those are upsides there. And so that's really the end of, those are our conclusions. It's a trade-off anywhere you go. So it's a question of short-term costs and issues we know about versus long-term manageability of the situation. And with that, we leave it back to you folks.
Oh, no, you don't. If you were a resident of Morro Bay with that kind of information and research, what would be your recommendation for Morro Bay's site for their water reclamation facility?
Well, I can tell you this. That's a very hard question, and it depends on where you are a resident in Morro Bay. I think that's a fair way of looking at it.
Yeah, it is.
I think there's the community-wide look at rates for everybody. There's plenty of people who live in Morro Bay who don't live near any of these and might be thinking, gosh, I want the cheapest one, whatever that is. So we've tried to put that in context of time delays and what that might mean. If you live near a site, you're going to be more concerned. How does Solomon figure it all out? I don't know.
So you're not going to say?
No, I'm not, because that's, okay. I think, the honest truth right
okay.
there.
Okay, before we give it to the public, I wanted to give... anyone up here a question? Anyone? Dale? Hey, Steve?
Yeah, I just have a quick one, actually. And I'm taking it out of your report. And this, at the end of the day, this is what scares me a little bit, is the fact that you talk about the Rigetti site. There's homes from 600 to 2,200. I think those are the numbers in the report, distance away from where you plan the plant. At the Tri-W, you talk about the Casa de Flores, which is 1,200 to 1,600, which also falls into that realm. In the case of the Rigetti site, you speak to the fact that there's fewer than 10 homes that could actually see the location of where the plant would go. So I assume from the standpoint of the people on Nutmeg, it's the proximity to their property that has them concerned about, you know, how close it is and that basic proximity. I guess, can you assure me we're not going to have Casa de Flores here next weekend when we have our next meeting because of the fact? Because you're saying there's no neighbors, low risk, but distance-wise, it's not all that much difference. And, you know, that's the problem. When you start moving around, short of taking it to the moon, you're going to have somebody, you already stated Madonna's kind of has its neighborhood opposition. You got Chevron with their neighborhood ops. You know, it's problematic. I really think it is. And that's why I have to sometimes discount what goes in that direction, because all you're doing is shifting the people that are going to be out in the audience at the very next meeting. And can you answer why you put the no neighbors, low risk with the Tri-W?
Sure, a couple of things. First of all, where you would locate it on Tri-W, it's true, you could be within 1,500 to 2,000 feet of Casa de Flores. You could also locate it a little bit farther, but shoot, you could locate, you know, there's any site anywhere in the city is going to be close within 2,000 feet of a lot of things. Now, have we talked to the Casa de Flores folks yet? Not yet. We're going to. No. We're planning on doing that. In fact,
I would have appreciated if that had come up, because it sounds like you spoke to the people around Chevron site and you spoke to the people around the Madonna site.
For sure.
And so from my standpoint, I just don't want to be here 3 months from now still with a different group. I'm sorry, to the different people in the audience. Oh. And everybody's got their concern about it. I hear it.
We're hoping to answer that question before council if we can get a read on that.
Yeah, I think that would be very good.
If we can't, we're going to try to get a read on that as soon as we can, sure.
Okay, thank you.
Paul.
just one real quick question here. Since all these prices have gone up for phase one, and last year we raised the sewer rates in town for a project of about the magnitude of $74 million, I believe it was. So with the numbers we're looking at today, are we looking at possibly doing another rate increase to cover a decision we make? Or we have enough in rates for this near future to cover any of these projects?
I think it's a bit premature until we get done with the facilities master plan to know what the actual rate impact will be. So the rates actually covered 75% of a $75 million project, because when we did the rate study, Cayucas was still a partner. And then there was about $10 million of contingency in that rate study. So we have about a $65 million project in rates.
Valerie. You got anything for us?
I just wanted to ask.
Here.
In the Chero Valley site,
There is the wells that we have there. We can't currently there were there, we can't use those wells. But with the streamflow augmentation, to quote unquote supplement city water supplies, can you explain how that works in regards to us being able to then use those wells? It's also my understanding that we can't use the wells in the Moro Valley either, that they're contaminated. And the only time that we use those wells is when we're cleaning out the state water line and we run the water through our desalinization plant. And the one benefit of the Moro Valley would be potentially to inject water into the Narrows that potentially would clean those wells up. I don't know if that's your is that your thinking? That's what would happen in the Moro Valley, that or would the injection in Moro Valley at the Narrows have nothing to do with the wells?
We wouldn't necessarily inject at the Narrows. So the concept was you could do surface percolation or injection possibly at the Narrows.
Okay.
And then on the west side, or on the downstream of Highway 1, that you could do injection wells there. That's really what we're exploring in Moro Valley. So one of the advantages that Moro Valley has over Choro, though, is Moro Valley has brackish water, what we call brackish water treatment. It's a treatment system that's for removal of nitrates, and that's already on those wells. Whereas Choro Valley, we have wells. We have two conditions in Choro Valley that are challenging. One is we have to be able to keep a minimum flow in the stream, and we also have to be able to treat that water because the nitrate levels are too high, and we have customers on the pipeline that goes out to those wells. So we have to be able to treat before we get to those customers, or we have to build pipelines around those customers. So that's the challenge with Choro. And the other thing, if you recall some of the hydrologic evaluation we did a couple years ago, that in the Cleath studies, they looked at that during in Choro Valley, when you discharge to the stream in Choro Valley during wet weather, that water just keeps going right out to the ocean because you're over that 1.2 CFS. So there's some complications at Choro Valley that we may not have at Moro Valley. But that's part of what we need to explore once we get the sites buttoned up.
Are you thinking at all about maybe pumping some of this water, say if you did locate it at Tri-W, back into the Moro Valley?
Yes, absolutely.
Bill? Wait.
I think I'm done.
It's your floor.
That's okay.
Barbara?
Just real quick, two follow-up questions. One to Paul's questions on the rates. Did the $65 million not include, or does it include Cayucas's 70 or 25% contribution?
It's the city residents paying the $65 million, basically.
Okay. So if it exceeds $65 million, any of these 3% delays or whatever, that's all on the that is all additional, correct? Phase one?
That's correct. Now, some cost escalation is built into that rate study. So the cost escalations you've seen over the last couple of years are really
built
in.
But that was based on certain assumptions when it was done, when this was going to start,
right.
And we've already delayed 60 days. Okay.
That's correct.
Then secondarily, when we say there's a delta to go to another site, and I recognize that's only an estimate, on some of these lift stations and pipeline costs, since we've recently done some of that work, can we get a little more specific on those increase in costs, or is that going to be a factor in the FMP? Just seems like it's a little bit too high level at this point.
When we get into the facility master plan, that's where we can really focus on pipe alignments and really trying to bring those costs down. The challenge is you could do that for all five sites. Our opinion is that relatively, if you look at the order of sites, least expensive to most expensive, probably pretty close. Could you make the argument that one site may not be 15%, it might be 10 or 12%, probably?
Okay. And then one other real quick question. The very end in your appendix on the decommissioning of the wastewater treatment plant, it had like a $1.68 million cost, and yet we've seen costs before significantly. Is that just, why is there such a delta? What am I missing?
So the latest estimates are 3 to 5 million per the Black and Veatch cost. That includes contingencies and that sort of thing, in addition to just the base costs. So we left the costs for decommissioning that we'd had originally in the options report a few years ago, just for comparison, because that's not going to affect your site selection.
Okay,
that's the same for all.
It's a little bit
sites.
Misleading, I think, that 1.7, isn't it? I thought,
you know, we'll do is we'll add some discussion in there.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. That's all I have.
I'm a little concerned with your cost on your infrastructure for the collection system, okay? And let me ask Rob Leibich something here. Hey, Rob, the location of the desal plant currently, you know, we just had property for funding or something and upgraded it and did all that. When you're talking to the Coastal Commission, are they talking about the reason why I'm bringing up the desal plant is because we using it to, you know, clean the water from the Moro Valley through it. So I look at it as critical infrastructure. Just for the public, can you maybe explain if we're allowed to keep the desal plant in its current location, why couldn't we piggyback a sewer plant behind it and make provisions for, you know, climate change and sea level rise like they do in Fillmore, for instance? They had a levee that they built, and then even the PERC plant over in Santa Paula, currently the Los Angeles County of Flood Control is making them build a little a wall there to protect them for flooding. So just for the public.
Sure. When the Coastal Commission evaluated with the former project, they view it as it was a replacement project. The existing wastewater treatment plant had basically met its service life. It was done. It needed to be replaced. The desal plant isn't at that point. We've been in discussions with them to, you know, they want to know when the desal plant meets the end of its service life, where are we going to move that critical infrastructure? But we're not quite there yet. It probably has 20, 30 years of life left in that facility before we would even consider taking it out of service and replacing it. With good maintenance, maybe even longer than that. So the Coastal Commission recognizes that there are existing facilities that may be in danger due to sea level rise, but are not at the end of their service life. We still have a few years before we get really impacted by the effects of sea level rise and storm surge. I think it's somewhere around 5 feet in 100 years. So we have a while to plan, but ultimately, we're probably moving the desal plant also.
Okay. One of my main concerns that I've mentioned to you personally, John, you know, is the infrastructure in the Moro Basin Aquifer, downstream of the Narrows, is in deplorable condition, and you know as the infrastructure enters the Narrows there. Okay, I've always said that we need to have, when we look at a project of this magnitude, it's kind of like if you look at a spider web, the spider's in the middle, right? That's the treatment plant, but the rest of the web is your infrastructure that comes to it. And we need to address that critical infrastructure that enters our drinking water aquifers. Now, I'm encouraged that you're looking at, you know, making sure that, you know, with regards to sea level rise and climate change and dealing with that issue, okay, and moving it out. But I just question some of the overall estimates on the cost of the collection system. Let me just put it that way. But I understand you have a very high contingency, and I think that that we could have it a little tighter at this point in time, given what we need to do.
Okay. The other thing I'd point out is, you know, collection system improvements and that sort of thing would, in this case, are typically going to be addressed through, you know, a city's sewer master plan update or other means other than trying to tie everything into a water reclamation facility, because those projects will typically be phased over time and they'll require some design and planning and that sort of thing. So there may be other needs in the collection system, as you noted, and I'm sure there are, but that'll be handled through the city's master planning efforts and updates to the master planning. But,
and
but
you have
important.
Existing rate structure to take care of a lot of those things as we proceed with the project as well. So, Steve, did you have a quickie?
I think Dale had one, too.
Oh, come on, you guys. Okay.
Are you expecting us to make a decision on a site this afternoon?
No, that's our decision. We decide what to do, and they don't.
I think
our expectation is to get the input in whatever form you want to provide it to allow the council to make a decision.
Yeah. It's going to be our call, man.
Real quickly, I asked about all the properties except the one we were presently looking at before, Rancho Colina. Did you have the opportunity to talk to people in the mobile home out there yet?
We didn't actually talk with people in the mobile home park out there.
Or have you gotten any resistance?
No, not specifically.
Okay. Good to know. Thank
okay,
you.
Valerie.
Actually, I'd like to correct that. When we had the meeting here to discuss the architectural renderings for the treatment facility, I believe there was probably 6 to 10 people in the audience that night who were from Rancho Colina, and they did have the same sort of concerns in regards to air, noise, traffic, lighting, you know, like the night sky being lit up. And that was also before, I think, that they were still thinking that the treatment plant would actually be located in the vicinity of where it's located now and not even closer to where they live. So, yes, they were there that night, and they did have a lot of good ideas and expressed a number of concerns. And one of the things that they said is that they had never been notified by anyone that, you know, that this was being contemplated. And so I think it's, I don't know if we're going to go back to Rancho Colina, if it's too late or whatever, if that's back on the books, but if that were to happen, they do need to be talked to or, you know, have a meeting with and discuss.
And I stand corrected. You're absolutely right that was a discussion. We didn't have specific sit-down dialogue in the last month. That's also true as well.
Oh, okay, so you've had dialogue. That's good.
And just to button this up, I have a quick statement which is important to me, and I want to see ahead, Bob. I wrote it down. I said, no advantage or disadvantage by outside critical path entities for any of these sites. No advantage or disadvantage from Tri-W or from LAFCO or Coastal Commission or from county board of supervisors or planning commissions or anything like that. There's no advantage or disadvantage of any of these sites.
No obvious one. Perhaps there's fewer coastal resources to be concerned about at Tri-W, but we haven't had a nod that there's a problem going to the other sites from them yet.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay, this is public comment period. You each will get 3 minutes. Come up and identify yourself, write your name, print your name, please. You will have 3 minutes. You will be buzzed.
The last guy stole the pen.
I hope you've had plenty of time to think through what you're going to say. We're looking forward to it. Like I said before, we do not have all the information or all the ideas or all the best brains up here. We need all the input that we can get, and we appreciate it from what you're going to do. So use your 3 minutes to do your best, and let's get on with it.
Bart Beckman, Morro Bay.
Hello.
Welcome. Thank you so much for all your time. I appreciate it. I sent you an email late this afternoon. I know that it has been read since several of the items mentioned tonight alluded to the memo. I really appreciate the April 29th study that was done that recommended the Tri-W site by Mr. Rickenbaugh. He has changed, apparently. to be noncommittal since that, but clearly that says, and it's online. Jenny, I'd like to thank you for following up with Cayucas. I met for over an hour with one of their representatives. My feeling is, and the thing that was left out of the discussion, was they wanted to be treated like a partner, not like a subservient person. That was not, that's in their memo. That was not in the summary of their memo. So we don't pit ourselves against one another. It needs to be pointed out that there's a lot of cost factors which change what we've seen. And I'm not going to go through my notes here. Site prep, clearly advantage to Tri-W. Not needing a lot of aesthetic treatment, clearly advantage to Tri-W. Not needing to potentially raise the facility to avoid the floodplain on Rigetti, not needed to Tri-W. It's flat. So there's a lot of advantages. So that 10%, or it's really 11% right now, gets wiped out pretty quickly. And unfortunately, the thing I think I have to mention to you, the numbers with the 30% is the point of the most probable place that the cost is going to be. The plus or minus 25% is this way or that way. So that's the way those numbers work. Don't think you're going to save money off the 30%. Unfortunately, that's it. Thank you again for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, I see a wave in the audience. Rather than yelling and shouting and helping others, the wave will get on camera and will have significance if you like something that a speaker says. So that's a good idea.
Sandy Tandler, Morro Bay. My first choice would be where we are at now. Unfortunately, our mayor screwed that up for us on purpose a few years ago, so I guess we're not going to go there. My second choice would be to go with Cayucas. It's cheaper. It makes no sense to have two sewers in two small towns. It's just ridiculous. But we need grown-ups from Morro Bay to be able to discuss this with the grown-ups I know in Cayucas, who I've gone to their meetings. They're very businesslike. They're very, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And all we need are some grown-ups from this town to negotiate with them. But if we can't go there, my third choice would be Tri-W in the city. I think that makes sense for our town if we cannot come to an agreement with Cayucas. Rigetti has always been a bad idea. I don't know why our city council is so hung up on it. Going up 41 would be a mess. That's our exit and entrance for everyone coming to Morro Bay. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine what a mess that would be. So if you do listen to us, and they do listen to you, I hope you'll pass this on. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Bill Martini, Morro Bay. Yeah, it's unfortunate that Cayucas and Morro Bay are, in theory, going their separate ways. I did attend that meeting, and I think that was the gist of it. They felt they were out of the loop and being dominated over. I mean, you know, there's been politics for the last 10 years on that issue. Chevron property is excellent. I will tell you right now, both those pieces are pending in escrow. And I believe Cayucas has them both tied up. So if you were to consider Chevron, I think you would have to deal with Cayucas. That's my understanding. You could also be their customer. I mean, that's the other option. That said, on your Tri-W property, I do not understand why you don't consider in the city part, the 150 acres in the city. It's 8/10 of a mile from the one corner of Tri-W to Highway 41 and 1. As opposed to a mile and a half out to, like, the Johnny Madonna's property. There's also areas on the property in the city, if you haven't looked at it, that are non-visual. If you look at, like, where the Nibble Nook or where Cookie Crock is, you go across, there's hidden valleys in the city property that are totally non-visual. You don't have to deal with the county. You don't deal with Caltrans. It's much closer. It's under city control. It's zoned ag, the property that you would consider The 13 acres that's zoned commercial, you don't need to build the, you know, the wastewater treatment plant on that piece of the property. You can put it in the ag zone, because the ag zoning, all the property you're looking at in the county is ag zone. So what's the difference? And the city can make, it's a local city decision. You don't have to go to Coastal. You don't have to go to all the other agencies or the county. That said, where you're looking at behind the Seashell community on the 400 acres in the county of the Tri-W property, that is an excellent location. It's just much further out. But that's a box canyon. If you wanted to worry about your water, you can actually box that canyon. You could have a reservoir, maybe a 1,000 acre feet, 1,500 acre feet. You could hold all the water in that box canyon in the winter and then let it seep into either of your aquifers. The first point, though, being is the Tri-W and the city, I believe, should be considered and looked at. That's the more superior of the two locations. And actually, gravity feeds into both valleys. And if you look at it, actually, that piece of the Tri-W is only a couple hundred yards off Little Morrow Creek Road. It's, you know, it's something that you need to walk around to really get the true feel of that piece. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
My name is Alice Kolb. I live in Morro Bay. I want to thank the city for arranging tours of the water treatment plants in Fillmore and Santa Paula. These were very informative about the problems of siting, constructing, and operating the facilities. Both of these cities located their facilities in industrial parks away from residential areas. There was inevitable odor and noise at both plants. We were able to see how raw sewage enters the plants, is processed, and the resulting recycled water. Fillmore has a good system of purple pipes in place to use the recycled water, while Santa Paula treats to a higher level of reuse. We were offered recycled water to drink at Santa Paula, but I didn't see anybody trying it. There were pluses and minuses at each plant, but the fact that both were located away from residential neighborhoods was the most important positive feature. The city of Fillmore did not build all of the enclosures around equipment that was originally planned due to the cost of construction. I do not believe that even a completely enclosed plant, and Santa Paula was more closed, although they had all their doors open, can be constructed at an affordable cost. This is not designable unless you're spending a tremendous amount of money. Therefore, the only way to really mitigate effects on neighborhoods is to choose a location that is at a distance from where people live. The Tribune Thought for the Day on Monday said that citizens and governments do not learn from history. Let's prove that wrong by learning from the experiences of Fillmore and Santa Paula. And I sincerely hope that you will join the conclusion of your consultants that's up there on the screen and recommend Tri-W as the preferred site. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Bill Todd from Morro Bay. And just a couple of requests. I was wondering if we could somehow, when we have these meetings, have them after 5 o'clock so us work folk can get down here. Second was, as far as notices go for all of this change and everything, I think that everybody in the audience would agree that none of us got information about this from the city. We got it all from our neighbors. And so I'd request that we get better notice for that. And then thirdly, they talk about, I believe it was Stephen, you talked about having a different group of people here if we move it to the Tri-W. Well, I'm right across from the Tri-W site also. So I have two properties, and you're talking about putting them in either one of those locations. So I would much rather have it at Tri-W. I own a business there, and it wouldn't affect my property value at all there. Where if you put it over on Nutmeg or near Nutmeg, you're going to I think it severely affect the property values over there. And then also on the corporate yard, I don't think that's going to be a problem. We have quite a bit of opposition right now against the wastewater treatment facility plant at the Rigetti property, but you add a corporate yard to that, you're going to get a whole other slew of opposition of that. So I think if you you know, stay with the conclusion of this committee here, I think it's a really good idea. I'm all for it. And you know, I'm the property owner of the other site, and I'm all for it. So that's just to let you know. That's I'd be if you were looking for that group, I'm here, and I'm all for it.
If Thanks. I could speak, though, I'd like to say I was talking to the resident, the people in Casa de Flores. I wasn't talking about the industrial commercial right. along Quintana Road.
Is there residential along there?
I think it's a senior facility out there. So yeah. I read the
residential. Yeah, so.
Yeah. I think that we need to.
I mean, they live there.
Okay. Yeah, but we need to separate with people that are stakeholders and own property, as a you know yeah. that's a little bit. Apples and oranges there when
okay.
you start comparing.
Richard, yeah. let's let the public. This is the
sorry.
Public's shot.
Sorry,
yeah. yeah, and that's why I think you're right on with that. It's, you know, we're talking about our property values, and you're talking about basically a commercial property. Even if it's residential, there people are paying money to live there, and so I don't think it's you're not comparing apples to apples. So, thank you.
Thank you. I didn't hear you, Kay. Oh, hang on for a minute. We have to have a motion and a second and approval to go beyond 5 o'clock.
I'll make a motion to move the meeting on through 5 o'clock.
I'll second that.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, you're on.
Mr. Chair, I did want to point one thing out. So there is a planning commission. I believe it's at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So we just need
okay.
to keep that in mind with respect to scheduling.
We're
going to
let these people
it is
have
at
their
6.
Say. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Julie Lowe.
Bring down the mic to you. That's it.
My name is Julie Lowe, and I also live in Morro Bay. And I'm probably not going to be very popular with the audience. I have a really different opinion. I live on Laurel, and so I'm very close to it. But I am concerned that if we don't buy one of those properties behind us, that it could be turned into something much worse. I mean, it is ag. It could be something else that we won't like any better. It's an option as an ag. And I think that we had an agreement with Rancho Colima at one point, and so he has to have a sewer. He can't keep his either, so isn't he going to have to do something to redo something for the mobile homes there? So don't we have some ability to re-talk to him about how to make that work? And again, I'm asking questions. And I agree. I think we need to learn from the past. I do not want to be Los Osos. I purposely did not buy in Los Osos 30 years ago when I moved here because I didn't want to deal with it. And they just finished. So let's not be Los Osos and do this for 30 more years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jim Pauley, Morro Bay.
Could you put right in, check in there, please? That helps Kay with the minutes. We're quoting you, sir.
Well, it is what it is. I've been listening and participating some in all the discussions you've been having that are open to us. And I want to compliment the consultants on checking out Tri-W the way they did. We know so much more now than we knew before, and it's even more attractive than I thought it might be. But I'll keep it simple. No, no, no on Rigetti. Yes, yes, yes on Tri-W. And I think on the Tri-W, it's the area that is not visible by the public, I think, is much more advantageous.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Jim Lyons, Morro Bay. Thought I'd mention to you, I went ahead and I read the report. I was very impressed. I certainly certainly from the standpoint of the ease of locating this at Tri-W. And one of the costs that I didn't see folded into to Rigetti or Rancho Colima was the potential for fighting off win, lose, or draw litigation costs, which certainly didn't find their way in there. So I think from a cost standpoint, we're probably flat across the board. And I also might mention it as far as Rancho Colima, they're mobile homes. You can pick them up and move them. It's a little hard to do that with a three-story, $1.5 million house. So with that, thanks for your report.
Thank you. Next.
Good afternoon. Tim Crowley.
Tim.
Money's important, but water's even more so. I mean, I appreciate being able to turn on my tap and flush my toilet, and the point of a whole point of a WRF is to reuse water. And Rigetti, I mean, Tri-W seems to make more sense if you have all those opportunities for stream augmentation. You got the whole Chorro Flats right there. I don't know if it's legally possible, but it is basically a settlement basin when the stream overflows there. He talked about the golf course. Hell, you can put a rainbird on top of Black Hill, for all I know. It's been looking pretty desiccated lately. But, I mean, that's ironically, it's the closest choice to my house, but I think it's far enough from most of the population that it wouldn't make a difference. And I think it seems like be the most logical choice that I've heard. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, my name's Karen Lumen, and I live in Morro Bay. And I didn't know the first time when I came to one of these meetings that you guys weren't paid and that you were volunteers. We didn't know any of that. And I really don't miss the guy that sat in the middle last time because I felt that he was rude and condescending, you know, to a lot of the older people. I mean, I'm old too, but, you know, so I appreciate the way that this one's been handled. You know, first and foremost, I think it's a lot of money and reckless behavior that you have 10,000 residents and 15,000 residents and that we've even gotten to that point where it's the money that we're talking about, those figures. I think it's reckless and unfortunate. But I guess we have to move forward. And I really appreciate that the Tri-W site was looked into. You know, I really don't want to like you. I really don't, you know. And I'm sure on a personal level.
Most people don't like him.
I'm sure on a personal level, but it's, you know, it's a big deal what we're talking about. And we're not going to go anywhere. You know, I realize that time is money, and if I have to wear a label that I'm a time delay risk and I'm going to be a costly bother, at first I was kind of insulted by that verbiage and that insinuation, but as I've sat here, I thought, you know what, I'll take that. I'm going to be a timely delay, and I'm going to be a costly problem because I'm not going to go anywhere. My dad built that house that I live in 1983. He was a geologist. You know, he wasn't a lawyer or a doctor or, you know, anything big like that. You know, and so it's really super important to me, and it's important to me for my neighbors. And I think that everybody should be considered, and truly Casa Flores, you know, they have needs and desires too. But like they said, they're not land stake owners. And I love you, Richard, you know, just what you bring to the table. And I really appreciate that you guys have donated all of your time. And I feel like you care about us.
Good. Thank you.
honorable members of WRFCAC. I'm Tina Metzger, Nutmeg Avenue. I want to thank you, all of you, for your personal volunteer time that you've spent on this committee concerning the important matters of siting the future sewage treatment plant. I truly do appreciate that from all of you. My request this afternoon is that you recommend to the council to take the Rigetti property off the list of the city's alternative sites for the EIR. Just take it off the list. Please understand that the Rigetti site is not a viable site for many reasons. If the council were to take the Rigetti site off the list for good, this would help to mend the lack of trust that we citizens have towards the council and would help to remove this terrible issue that is hanging over our heads. We desperately need our peace of mind. And the council has taken that away from us. It is important to not waste any more precious time or money on the Rigetti property, either the city's time or money or its citizens. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tina. Anyone else?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Roy Halterman. I have been vacationing. Been fortunate enough to move over here about 3 years ago. I've been a Halterman in this town ever since 1951. I've been fishing this area since I was in diapers. I love Morro Bay. He'll have to drag me out of here. My biggest problem with Rigetti is I have been in construction all my life. The sewer gases that be produced at that plant will perk into the ground, and it's going to come up in our foundations. One morning I might get up. My water heater might set off the gas in my house and blow me to the moon. Who knows? It'll happen all over that hillside. Sewer gases are very explosive. And I haven't heard anything to deal with that. Not only that, Rigetti is, by the time you pump the water all over sewage up that hill, that's a large expense. That money could be spent for the extra cost for the Tri-Valley or Tri-County, whatever it was called. But anyway, I'd like to just stress to the fact that sewer gases are very explosive, and it will get into our homes. That's all expansive soil up there. It cracks. It'll perk right into our homes. You can bet on it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Donna Burke, and I live on Nutmeg.
I have a direct view of the WRF out of the upper windows in my home. I am, of course, strongly opposed to the WRF at Rigetti. It is actually completely incompatible to have an industrial site in such close proximity to an existing neighborhood that has 424 homes within 2,000 feet. On top of the noise, the light pollution, the odor, and our property devaluations and traffic problems, there are safety hazards at WRFs. I spent the last couple days researching WRFs that have actually exploded over the last few years and just sent a letter to the city council listing the names and was appalled that one of them was right here, Santa Paula, that we're apparently trying to model ours after, where dozens of people had to be evacuated to, a mile around had to be evacuated and dozens of people sent to hospitals. And I sent them pictures and documented it all. It's not safe. I am in favor of Tri-W, since the city's other goals, which can include a courtyard, a solar field, administrative buildings, a desalinization building, you know, in the future, etc., all of that can be built at Tri-W, and that will actually offset the additional costs compared to the sites in the Morro Valley. And one of the Tri-W sites may be able to avoid the Clean Water Act altogether, which, as you're aware, the Rigetti site does have that Clean Water Act issue. In addition, Tri-W is not near a residential neighborhood. It makes sense. I urge you to recommend Tri-W for the WRF site. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Linda Warwick, and I live on Juniper Avenue. And I'm very in favor of Tri-W, and I'm very, very against the Rigetti site. And I really want to make a strong point that North Morro Bay is important. We're a vital part of Morro Bay. We are Morro Bay, and we're not a dump site. And we're not just 10 houses that overlook a potential sewer site. We're part of the community. I don't like to be minimized as only being 10 houses that might be affected. We're not. We're, as she said, we're over 400 homes, and I'm here to stay. This is my lifetime home. I for all of the eloquent reasons, or the reasons that have been so eloquently presented by the other speakers, I strongly agree with them and support them, and I just want to say again, North Morro Bay is important.
Thank you. Okay, folks, going.
I promise to read a letter for Mary Jo DeSio. She left for out of the country on a trip, and she wrote a letter dated April 24th. So I'm here to fulfill that promise. okay, it's to the attention of the mayor and the council members, but she wanted me to read it at the WRFCAC meeting today. So this is regarding no to the Rigetti site. Vote no. The current issue of the Bay News contains a full-page advertisement addressing the unresolved economic issues related to the proposed sewage treatment facility plant at the Rigetti site. I fully concur with the issues raised by the concerned citizens who paid for and published this notice. Recent informational sessions at local farmers markets and slick brochures published by the city have failed to address key economic, environmental, and social questions related to this project. In the recent issue of the Bay News, City Manager Dave Buckingham discusses at length the problems the city is experiencing due to lack of adequate fiscal resources. The picture he paints looks very glum, yet the city is apparently ready to expand a $34 million sewage treatment facility project into a $102 million project for unspecified industrial development, along with the WRF sewage treatment facility. The city initially identified 8 acres as sufficient to meet our sewage treatment facility needs, and it is now negotiating for 253 acres. Why? Given our current economic woes, the city is obligated to operate within its means and not commit future and present citizens to debt and obligation for an indeterminate time into the future. This WRF project represents out-of-control government from the perspectives of economics, environment, and social cultural perspectives. A sewage treatment facility should not be located on prime ag land in a neighborhood and on the corridor to our city. I urge you to vote no on the Rigetti site and to consider other alternatives for all the reasons I have delineated above. Thank you for your thoughtful consideration of my request. Sincerely, Mary Jo DeSayo, and she lives on Laurel Avenue in Morro Bay. Thank you. Right. Should I write her name?
No, we're good. Going, gone. Okay, we're going to bring this back to the panel up here, and we're going to discuss your input, staff's input, and see where we go from here. Anyone want to start? Dale.
I just want to thank the consultants of doing this. They did a good job. And thank you. That's it.
I guess the question in my mind is, are we looking to negate the Rigetti sites from the list of sites, or are we looking to pursue pushing it to the Tri-W site? Because one of the problems I have still is the fact there are several neighbors out there, and I'm sorry, they're all residents to me, whether they own the property, they rent the property, or however that works. It's almost like you feel like you're throwing somebody else under the bus when you start saying, well, gee, it makes more sense over here.
It's our call. We can do anything we want.
I'll tell you what my thoughts are. It's to remove the Rigetti site from the group, I do not have a problem voting in favor of that. If it's to preclude, now you can't count the Madonna or the Rancho Colina in favor of the Tri-W, I would have problems trying to support that motion.
Make a motion.
Let everybody speak. We're talking about it right now.
Paul?
This has been my dilemma as far as site selection, and I think it's been brought up before about putting the cart before the horse. If we knew now how that water is going to be reused to its most beneficial use, it might really affect how we would site a location to treat the wastewater. We don't know that yet. We could build a plant in a location, kind of find out, oh my God, we should have built it over here, because now we know how we're going to get rid of the water. The whole purpose of our committee was to, it's a shame to see 1 million gallons of fresh water go in the ocean every day, and how are we going to address that? Not how are we going to build a new, shiny, new wastewater treatment plant somewhere, but how are we going to reuse this water? The idea of being able to use it in the Chorro Valley for the golf course, which I believe is a general plan policy, what is it, 80.1, it says you should be using it for the golf course and ag. It's one of the uses that must be done. Putting it strictly in Moore Valley and then satisfying and being consistent with that policy would be more difficult to do. So we have to find a reason why we have to cite it based upon the hierarchy of water uses, the most beneficial uses, where it must be placed. Once we know that, then we could probably come up with a very good idea where is the best place to put the wastewater treatment plant to serve that purpose. So that's my dilemma. Right now, Tri-W seems like it's starting to be the location that can satisfy all those potential uses better and be consistent with our general plan and whatnot. That's where I'm coming from. My dilemma is I'm not sure where we're going to use this water. It'd be a shame to treat it to high quality and just dump it back in the ocean again. The other thing is we always kick around this 1 million gallons a day, and I'm pretty sure down at the plant, Bruce has his discharge chart there. It shows it relatively about 1 million gallons goes out a day, but that's a combined use of ours and Cayucas. So therefore, Morro Bay's contribution to the ocean discharge is much smaller than that. That's the amount of water that we are responsible for reclaiming. And so we need to factor that in, too, to all our discussions. So that's where I'm at. We need to know what we're going to do with the water first before we decide on the plant. That's it.
Valerie?
One thing that...
When
we were discussing earlier time equals money and delays, increased costs, and I know that it's been said many times before that the archaeological site along Highway 41, which does contain human burials, can be dealt with. But I think it is a risk. I think it's a real risk that would be a time delay in terms of the process of getting through the environmental process and in regards to the number of agencies that we are going to need to consult with, the types of reports that we're going to need to prepare, and the consultations that will be necessary. So I don't think it's necessarily a slam dunk. I think we have a lot of work ahead of us if we stay in the Morro Valley in regards to coming up with a plan to minimize impacts to that archaeological site. My main concern, too, is to come up with a plan to reclaim this water so that we can actually use our wells again and put it in and put the water where it needs to go, and whether that means dividing it between Charro and Morro, if that's what we're going to do, that's what we're going to do. I don't know that there's any greater benefit in the Morro Valley, given the geology of the soil, the nature of the soil in the Morro Valley over the Charro. One thing I agree with Bill that why aren't we looking at the city portion of Tri-W? I always thought that was the portion that seemed to make the most sense to me. It may be closer to the highway, but I've worked with enough architectural landscape architects to know that building berms and planting trees provide wonderful screens, what have you. Modern treatment facilities do not look like our plant that we have out here in Morro Bay. They can be architecturally very pleasing. So anyway, that would be one question I have is did we prematurely dismiss the city portion of Tri-W? That's it.
Barbara.
Thank you. I share some of the same comments that Steve and Paul do as well. I'm not ready, as one of the suggestions was, to completely eliminate Rigetti or any specific site of these four based on getting more information. However, I do support the fact that Tri-W may be a more reasonable choice and maybe reserve final judgment till we see more of these specifics, which is why those of us on the Finance Subcommittee have been asking for more detailed costs for quite some time to help us make a better decision. That's really all I have right now.
Jenny?
Well, I thought the report was really, really well written, and I was surprised, to be honest with you, how attractive that the Tri-W site looked. And I know I've been a proponent of the cheapest site possible. There just appear to be more reclamation opportunities, as we all discussed, at that site. You know, estuary, pumping into the estuary, golf course, enhancing the creeks. Maybe helping out the drinking water wells down the line. And I was also surprised by the issues that the report cited with the Chevron site. For example, the prime ag land cultural resources, I guess there had been a community there once. I mean, that would all have to be addressed. And also environmentally sensitive habitat areas. So my recommendation, just based on the conclusions of this report, would be to recommend the Tri-W site as the preferred site. But I would also hope that Morro Bay and Cayucas could somehow iron out the differences and construct and operate one facility, maybe at that site. I know Cayucas has accomplished quite a bit right now at the Chevron site, but with the issues that you've just raised, maybe they're going to find out that that site isn't as attractive as they once thought. So I'd like to keep the door open with Cayucas, and I sincerely hope that that meeting will take place. And as I mentioned earlier, Supervisor Gibson would be happy to attend the meeting. So that's all I have to say about it. But again, thanks so much for that report. Well done.
Thank you. Richard.
You know, I sit on the Morro Bay Planning Commission, and we recently had a update on how we view buildings, and one of the major points, and it's a subjective one, but it is neighborhood compatibility. And neighborhood compatibility for me means you have to put it into practice. And one of the speakers had mentioned an important thing here, and that's trust building. Because if we don't have trust, then this is just a dog and pony show. So what I see, in my opinion, and I can't really visualize the collection system yet, but I see that when we look at, we need to make a decision, okay? We've been here a year and a half already and just bouncing around. And I'll be honest with you, way back when they had these meetings, these workshops three or 4 years ago, before the election, before the present council got elected, Rigetti never rose to a high spot because of issues that are continually being brought up. I would like to take Rigetti completely off the table. Secondly, I would like to look at the city.
No, wait a minute. Make a motion.
Well, let me explain.
No, we're gonna have a series of these things. Let's keep them simple.
I would like to make a motion that we take Rigetti off the table as far as considering a water reclamation facility on that property. And I would like to make a motion.
Let me help you out. Let me help you out a little bit. We're an advisory committee. So what you're doing is you're making a motion that you're making a recommendation to the city council to do this.
Right.
Okay?
What I would like to do is make a motion as a body, as a citizen advisory body, that we draft a letter to this Morro Bay City Council that they take Rigetti off the table for consideration of a water reclamation facility.
Okay, period.
I could second that.
Okay, second that. Any discussion? This will not be the last motion that we're going to entertain. Let's get this through this one. Any discussion on this?
Can we throw in the Madonna property too?
That'll be next.
Be another motion.
Okay, let's go. Can we go? Can you want to take a vote on that? Okay.
Sure. And I don't need to read the motion back to you.
No, we got it.
And you can go by voice vote. You don't need to have
let's
call.
Try that. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Okay, wait a minute. We have two opposed.
Two.
Dale
and Barbara.
Okay. Passed. Okay. Richard, did you have another idea on a motion? It's still your floor.
No, I think it was Dale.
The other motion I would like to make is I too appreciate your the extents, the data that you put into this this latest report. Regarding the Tri-W, I would like to make a motion that the city look at the Tri-W options, but also include the shitty Tri-W property. Okay, that's the motion, and I want to, with a caveat that I want to state, is because water reclamation, where
don't mush it up.
Don't mush it up. Okay. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay. I think we need Kay to read that one back.
Sorry about that. Richard Sadowski motioned the city look at Tri-W options and include the city Tri-W site.
Richard, could I make a suggestion for revision of that motion to make it the favored site of this board?
Yes.
Do you agree?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I'll second his motion.
Okay, who's second?
Dale.
Paul.
Discussion.
I think I would just change.
Hang on.
Maybe we are calling them sites, but the city parcel and the county parcel, they're parcels as opposed to sites.
What, read that back, Kay, so everybody's very clear on what we're voting on, please.
Okay, so I've got Richard Stowski motioned the city look at Tri-W options and include city, Tri-W parcel, and county parcel as the favored site.
For the WRF.
For the WRF.
Discussion.
Is that good?
And we've got a second from Paul. Paul, do you take that as a second?
Richard gave first. Paul, you second.
Mm-hmm. Discussion.
One of the major benefits that opens up grant funding for us, and I've mentioned this continually with Prop 1 funding especially, is the fact that we have an option to reuse in the Choro Valley, where Decision 1633 can be revisited with the State Water Board and how the city can reuse that water and use our water wells, and the option that we could also address the nitrate issues in the Moro Valley. And that option still is available with this particular favored option.
Any other discussion? I'm going to try a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
No.
All opposed?
Oh, sorry.
No.
Okay, we have Dale opposed and Steve opposed, and everyone else says yes. Okay. Now, Jenny, you wanted to talk about another reconciliation motion for Cayucas. I personally think that after that letter that they sent, and everything that I've seen and heard from Cayucas is that they're on their own. And I think that it would be fruitless to pursue it any further. But did you want to try? And you'd have to make a motion in a simple sentence.
I haven't given up. Let's see. A motion?
You don't have to.
What I'd like to do would just simply be to suggest that they have a meeting.
But
a face-to-face meeting.
If we put it
letters.
In a recommendation, it's a lot stronger than just your voice. It's a lot stronger because it goes directly to the city council with these other motions, and it's going to mean a lot more.
Okay, so let me ask my colleagues here. Does everybody agree with...
I think they told you to pound sand, basically, is how I read
that there's
letter.
No hope, everybody.
I could be wrong. I wasn't there at the meetings that night, but the letter pretty unequivocally states that they see Morro Bay quite frankly, in a moment of tumult because you have citizenry coming out fighting the location. I think they're saying they don't want any part of this. Yeah. That's my feeling, but I could be wrong.
That's my analysis.
One thing I would, if I could point out, too, just for just as a reminder, the facility master plan is going to include an analysis with Cayucas and without in the appendix. That's part of the current scope of work, and that's been the direction from council and also the committee.
And it'll be
so
there
we'll,
anyway.
We will be looking at that
anyway
through the facility master plan. That's correct. So I just want to point out that that's not off the table with any of the discussion or direction.
But what we're doing is we are a prelude to the city council, of which they are going to take our recommendations one at a time, and they're going to address them, and they're going to evaluate them. And if you want your concerns to be at the same consideration level as the previous two motions, then you have to make a motion.
It's not at the same concern as the two previous, okay. Obviously.
Okay,
and thank you for clarifying that it's going to be evaluated.
Barbara, you got one.
And I've always been convincing or trying to convince Cayucas with Ginny and some of my colleagues on this, but I think at this point in time, they have given us some pretty good direction from a negotiation standpoint. I think I'd leave that off the table.
Okay.
We just eliminated one site from further consideration. What if they go there, find out they can't do Chevron, want to come back to Rigetti and work with us? Because, I mean, there's a whole lot of other things we'll have to address at the time, but right now, I wouldn't recommend going back to them. I'd just let it be.
Okay, does anyone else have really a burr under their saddle on where they want to come up with a motion that will be of the import that we have of our first two? Go ahead, Dale.
I would like to make a motion to make a recommendation to the City Council that we remove the Rigetti site from consideration and the Madonna site from consideration and focus on Tri-W, both the site in the county and the one that is in the city. That's it.
Well, the only thing that you changed from the first two is that you're eliminating Madonna.
Right.
So you want to make a motion to eliminate Madonna as a site consideration?
Yes.
Do you want anyone want to second that? Huh. It died. Okay, Valerie seconded. Discussion. Tell us why, Dale.
I just don't like the site. It's prime ag land. It's in the Williamson Act.
Need a bridge.
It's just going to cost too much, and there's going to be too much opposition from the neighbors and from Coastal Commission and from the county.
Any other discussion?
Let me add a little context to this discussion generally. By taking things off the table, perfectly reasonable kind of recommendation.
We're making recommendations here.
Correct.
We're not taking them off the table. We're making recommendations.
Good point.
And you got
good point.
5 days to
good point.
Think about it.
What I'm trying to, right, and the council will make a decision. For the EIR's perspective, you have to consider alternatives, which don't have to include off-site alternatives, but you do have to consider why you're not looking at off-site alternatives. One reason why you might not, you'd say in the EIR, is because we don't want to look at these alternatives. That's where you're going with this. But if there are alternatives that reduce one impact or another, and we've discussed what some of those could be in certain cases, you could consider those. So in other words, you are possibly limiting your environmentally superior alternative options if they're out there, but I don't know that. But that's part of the discussion of this whole where it leads.
That's a risk.
Correct.
John, in the environmental document, wouldn't you still go forward with alternatives considered but rejected for X, Y, and Z reasons?
That's correct.
These
you do.
These are all going to show up
you do.
In the environmental document.
You would explain why you're not looking at those. That's correct.
I think some of the reasons, some of the same reasons for Rigetti, we have at the Madonna site as well, and perhaps very unwilling local residents in terms of, you know, some are denying access. That's why we have to build a $1 million bridge, various things like that. I think, I don't know.
No, it's a perfectly good discussion. I'm making the point, those are the kind of discussions you can put into an EIR and say why you're not looking at alternatives. And it doesn't have to be environmental reasons, for example. So I just want to let you know that's part of your deliberation.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Dale, you want to give us your last shotgun blast here?
It still opens up, but it still leaves the McElvain site for an EIR open.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor to eliminate the Madonna site for consideration for a new WRF for Morro Bay.
To remove Rigetti and Madonna.
Rigetti's already been gone.
But Dale said both of those, so...
Well, we already covered that on the first motion.
Correct. So Dale's...
Dale just takes care of Madonna. And it's seconded in the same manner, right? Okay, all in favor?
Okay.
All opposed?
No.
We better let's have a vote on it.
It's Dale.
Dale and Valerie, yes.
So it's two
and
yes
else, no.
And.
Yeah. No, I mean.
And everyone else, no.
Well, yes.
Well, we just take a voice.
Okay. Is there any other issue that you think is paramount that should go to the City Council next week that you think is very important that they have to chew on and make a decision on so this can go ahead?
I think the report with the suggestions we've made on some of the numbers, the finances, any more detail they find, any more neighbor concerns from any of the sites, all of that should go. Even if we're just CC'd on it, we, you know.
And I agree. I don't think we need a motion on that or anything, but I think that that's very strong opinion of this body up here that's correct. Anything else? Okay, that does it. We adjourn to the next meeting of the Reclamation Committee, June 7th, 3 p.m.
They clumsily modified the last motion.
Well, yeah, he did.